answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
With Danish officials last week and, you know, cautioned them, don't go head to head with President Trump. He is looking out for U.S. security, but it's also for your benefit. Greenland is part of that golden dome that President Trump is building for us. That's a lot like the Iron Dome in Israel that protects them from weapons. But this is the 21st century version. So it's essential that we have Greenland. When I was U.S. ambassador, they had about 30 guys in Greenland and two dog sleds. And that's what they called security.
Wow.
They don't, frankly, have the manpower or the money. They have a small economy, kind of like Colorado. And President Trump is understands that Greenland's part of North America, the world's largest island. And when they go independent, and they will in this century, they've promised they want to, he will not allow them to fall into the arms of Russia or China. It would be like a gigantic Cuba just off our northeast coast.
Yeah,
unacceptable.
Would not want that to happen, because we already got Cuba to the south, 90 miles off our coastline. You were listening to the former U.S. ambassador to Denmark, Carla Sands, and talking about how Trump is protecting our nation and really the world by us taking action with Greenland. Didn't he say he might use force? Did he say he was going to invade Greenland? Did he say he was going to bomb them to hell if they didn't submit? He never said any of that. He hints, he teases, he trolls, and the leftists eat it up. And they go running around, hair on fire. He's going to bomb Greenland. No. And the deal we now have comes without a single shot being fired. Which is probably good, because according to the U.S. ambassador to Denmark, she said the only security they had in Greenland when I was there was maybe 30 soldiers and two dog sleds. That's great security. But they recognize that they need the protection as well. Greenland does not want to be left out there on its own if Russia and China are coming. And we already know they recognize the value of that as well. For some reason, idiots in the USA just don't get it. They don't understand the value. So when Trump started talking about we're going to have bases on Greenland, maybe make them a 51st state, maybe buy them up, the Danes and others say, no, you're not going to buy us up. He was never planning on buying them up. He was never planning on invading Greenland. But he put enough words out there that it frightened folks. They thought, maybe we better do something about it. I'll break down the Greenland deal for you as we move forward. Welcome to hour number two, Larry Connors USA. And reminding you, when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch the program. You go to News Talk STL Rumble, Facebook or Twitter. Larry Connors USA Rumble, Facebook. If you miss anything, it's available as a podcast when the program is over. Pull it up at Newstalk STL, LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA Facebook. And as always, we remind you, while we're on the air from 6 to 8, Monday through Friday, with Larry Connors USA, you're going to get news, analysis, commentary, and education. You're going to know more when you finish this hour than you do right now. That's part of our mission every day. What can we put in front of you that you might have some understanding of, but not enough, or maybe you don't know anything at all about it? And that's not because you're dumb, it's your overload, like all of us are. So I go out with the help of Jerome, and we find things that we know will be of value to you. Sometimes light and funny, sometimes scary as hell. So let's talk about this Greenland deal. Here's what's going to happen. Remember, Trump has been at Davos for the economic summit. And this is a deal that was brokered in part with NATO, the North Alliance Treaty Organization, the very group that was condemning Trump when he said, we're going to need Greenland. We need Greenland. And they would say, you can't do that. In fact, some countries were sending their emissaries to Davos to tell him, hands off Greenland. They now recognize it's better to have Greenland in control, not by Trump directly, but under the umbrella of NATO. So now they suddenly like it. Here's the way it will come out. The framework is basically laid out for a future deal to be negotiated in additional meetings. It will apparently end with the U.S. getting a sovereign base area modeled on Britain's military bases on the island of Cyprus. While those bases are not on the British mainland, the U.K. owns approximately 3% of Cyprus in two exclaves, enclaves, I should say, which are legally and internationally recognized as overseas British territory. Now, the New York Times is claiming several, quote, officials who were present in the Trump-NATO meetings, talking about America needing to increase security at the Arctic and Greenland. They say the deal unveiled by President Trump is a Cyprus-style deal. Some call it a Cyprus-based concept. So if it's built upon that, the U.S. is going to maybe buy 1% of Greenland, and that would be basically an area the size of Maryland, and we'd put our military base there. Trump did not get into any details, and I'm glad he didn't, because we don't need them right now. But as he has suggested, the terms will be forever, not just a lease. And again, it would be an opportunity to create a golden dome blocking and shooting down any missiles coming across the Arctic aiming for the U.S. or Canada. Canada, you need to remind yourself you are also in that target range. And we also apparently will get mineral rights. So that's all good. Trump made this statement.
All we want from Denmark for national and international security, and to keep our very energetic and dangerous potential enemies at bay, is this land on which we're going to build the greatest golden dome ever built. We're building a golden dome.
As you know, the Iron Dome in Israel has done a lot to protect that nation from incoming rockets, things of that nature being fired at it by its enemies. Trump calling this the Golden Dome. Be a much bigger area, more action, but it's got to serve a greater purpose. And of course, there are those who continue to say Trump is just pushing every button. He's just trying to make himself look more important than anyone else. What he is doing is protecting America, not just making America great again, the USA great again, but not just from now, but for the future. And I cannot get past these idiots who do not understand the big picture. Maybe it's because some of those idiots don't care about the future of this nation. Carolyn Leavitt, White House spokeswoman, said, Trump is not the first president to come up with this idea.
I think the president would say, and everyone here would agree, America is back and the whole world knows it. President Trump is undoubtedly the leader of the free world. He's also the businessman and negotiator in chief. And so there was a very long list of foreign leaders and business leaders who wanted to meet with the president today. And he's been taking part in many of those private meetings behind closed doors in between all of the public remarks you've been hearing. So I'm going to get back downstairs. I know he's going to be meeting with Secretary of NATO, and I'm sure the press will be in the room for that as well.
And she also added Harry Truman had previously proposed the U.S. acquire Greenland or put military bases there in one fashion or another. Harry Truman, who saw the end of World War II. And he realized way back then in the 40s This is going to be vital to U.S. security in the future. California Governor Newsom, speaking of folks who whine and cry and mock everybody except themselves, mainly because he's not getting attention, he's just like any two-year-old brat.
Do you have a message for Europeans who are concerned about the messages from the White House around Greenland this week?
Yeah, it's time to buck up. It's time to get serious and stop being complicit. It's time to stand tall and firm, have a backbone. I've seen this in the United States, the supine Congress playing both sides, you know, say one thing on a text or a tweet and another publicly.
So when you say standing tall, what do you mean?
Just, I can't take this complicity. People rolling over. I should have brought up a bunch of knee pads for all the world leaders. I mean, handing out crowns and handing, I mean, this is pathetic. Nobel Prizes, they are being given away. I mean, it's just pathetic. And I hope people understand how pathetic they look on the world stage. I mean, at least from an American perspective, it's embarrassing.
So what should Europe be doing?
The Europeans should decide for themselves what to do. But one thing they can't do is what they've been doing, and they've been playing. This guy's playing folks for fools, and it's embarrassing.
Europeans think this is diplomacy, and this will ultimately work.
Well, this is diplomacy with Donald Trump. He's a T-Rex. You mate with him, or he devours you. One or the other.
And Europe's being devoured?
People need to stand, but no, the Europeans could be if they continue to put down this path and process. They need to stand tall, stand firm, stand united.
There is the spineless Gavin Newsom. It's pathetic. Pathetic. How Trump will say one thing and do something else. Is that similar to what you were doing, Newsom, during the COVID issue? When you were closing down your entire state, no one could go out and eat, dine, drink, whatever. You couldn't do it. And yet you and your little colleagues gathered in the Napa Valley at the French Laundry, a very nice restaurant. I've been there, and I paid a good price for it. But he held his own little group for a meeting, and many of them were health companies, gathering in the Napa Valley during the midst of COVID when everybody else was told, stay home. Oh, and let's not forget Nancy Pelosi had to have her hair done. They had to open up the shop that was closed so she could get her hair done. And she said, I have to have my hair done. I'm on TV a lot. And we can fix that. Give me a razor. I'll take care of that hair for you. But again, here's Newsom claiming, basically calling out every other nation that was at Davos, saying they're weak. He said, I should have brought knee pads for them because they're bowing to Donald Trump. Pathetic. Pathetic. Newsom, methinks thou dost protest too much. And another thing that's coming to your doorstep, Newsom, is all the fraud and the scams that have been underway dealing with illegals. And your state is not immune from them. We know that. We just haven't had time to get into it. And of course, you look at Minnesota, where we're seeing a lot of it. White House spokeswoman Carolyn Leavitt says, it used to be the land of lakes, now it's the land of scams.
The great people of Minnesota, a state that was once known as the land of 10,000 lakes, has been turned into the land of 10,000 Somali schemes because of their governor. And don't forget, this is a guy who was at the top of the Democrat Party's ticket, the number two. He was Kamala Harris's running mate just about a year ago until President Trump crushed them last November. And it was in large part because the president was calling out this fraud. And so this has been a day one priority for the Trump administration, Jess. The Department of Justice has convicted and prosecuted nearly 100 defendants in Minnesota. And because of these new details and this new reporting that has come to light, this is an all hands on deck across the entire government effort. We are surging resources. You saw today the Department of Homeland Security announced we have nearly 2,000 agents from the Homeland Security Investigations Team. The FBI is on the ground and we're freezing money. HHS cut off funding for child care centers and for for daycares. Thus, USDA Secretary Rollins has been asking Governor Walz to see the recipients of SNAP in his state. So this is all hands on deck. Rest assured, it's a top priority for President Trump. And he believes that Governor Walz is criminally liable. And I think the Department of Justice is going to find out.
Yeah, I do too. I've had a commentary running today. You know, Larry Connor's commentaries run three times a day. So you have three different times to catch it. 7:30 in the morning, the Mike Ferguson Show. And during the noon hour with Jamie Allman. And also around 3:30 on the Tony Colombo Show. Today's commentary, in case you missed it, was specifically about all those being brought by subpoena to testify as to what they know or did not know about the scams going on in their state of Minnesota. And, of course, one of them being Governor Walz. And I took the liberty, because I can, to say that I want to be the first one to interrogate Walz. Let me correct that, to question him. What did you know? When did you know it? What did you do about it? How did you hide? And how much are you going to still cover it up? And I think I concluded something to this extent. What Governor Walz, you're taking the fifth? Or do you mean your constitutional fifth? Your right to non-incriminate yourself? Is that the fifth you're talking about? Or are you talking about taking a fifth from the liquor cabinet? Yeah. I'd love to have a chance to interview him. It will never happen. Hell will freeze over. And we're pretty close to looking at this weekend, I think, but I still will not get a chance to interview him. Coming up, oil prices, how much they're going to be changing with Venezuela, and oil flooding the markets or not flooding it. Now, what it's going to do to oil companies based in the USA. I got the founder of one company, founder and CEO. He'll describe what he's seeing happen now in the Permian Basin. If you watch Landman with Billy Bob Thornton, you're very familiar with the Permian Basin. So he'll be coming up. And also a challenge for you, a challenge. I dare you to listen to someone I have coming up, and you tell me what he's saying or trying to say. He is the son of George Soros. Need I say more? Get ready for that challenge. That's coming up. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Previously, I've told you about dustless blasting, a special service offered by Wellington Environmental. It could work for you in your place. Recently, a crew removed a driveway sealer that had failed. The owner wanted to go back to the original concrete so it could be properly sealed. Dustless blasting worked. That homeowner is happy. Now, sometimes surfaces need pressure washing instead of blasting. In fact, there was an exterior stone fireplace cleansed by pressure washing. And when it dried, all the dark stain was gone. That stone had its original appearance. Wellington is versatile with blasting. Dustless blasting or whatever you need. They will evaluate and make a decision. How do you get them to your door? Very easy. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, making your world great. In fact, be safe, be well with Wellington Environmental. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Ever been in a wreck or felt as if you've been in a wreck? My advice, contact Dr. Bill Draghi, Esquire Sports Medicine. Yes, they can treat wreck victims, falls, other hazards of life, sports injuries. I go at least twice a month. That keeps the joints in line. Part of your spine get out of line, you start compensating, you're going to have additional pain. Don't be that guy. Visit Esquire Sports Medicine, Big Ben, just north of 40. EsquireSportsMedicine.com.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. According to oilprice.com, which watches over oil prices around the world, the oversupply and low cost of oil and gas means less drilling in the Permian Basin, which of course straddles West Texas and New Mexico. I grew up in the Permian Basin. My dad was an oil man. And my guest, Jay Young, founder and CEO of King Operating Corporation, also the author of the book, The Upside of Oil and Gas Investing. First of all, welcome aboard, Jay.
Thanks, Larry. Appreciate you having me on. I didn't know you were a Permian Basin guy. That's awesome.
I grew up all over West Texas, Big Spring, and then we moved to New Mexico a couple times and back. Oh, every bit of that. Which, by the way, did I see you next to Billy Bob Thornton in Landman the other day?
Man, I wish. That would be awesome, wouldn't it? I tell you what, but it's your big talk about Big Spring. That's where my great grandfather drilled a bunch of wells there in Big Spring and took care of that field. So that's really, really close to home.
Yeah, and Pecos as well. And you mentioned Big Spring. I'll share a quick story with you. My dad wanted me to work every summer, obviously, and I wanted to work. So he asked me one year, what are you going to do for a job this summer? I said, oh, Dad, I got a job at the golf course, and I can caddy. And then on the weekend or Mondays when it's closed, we can come play golf here. And his remark to me is, we're not country club folk. He didn't own the oil company like you do, and I didn't realize the strata meant unless you own the oil company, you're not going to be a member of even the Big Spring Golf Club. So I'm looking at these reports from oilprice.com. The U.S. is trying to sell off. You still there? Getting a little feedback. The U.S., the Department of Energy, is trying to organize the sale of something like 50 million barrels of oil that we've seized from these Venezuelan tankers. How's that breakdown as to what is going to affect oil prices, the glut, the oversupply, and our prices for the folks at the tank and filling up?
Yes, sir. I'll tell you, short term, it's not really going to make that much of a difference because, you know, Venezuela right now is only producing about 1 million barrels of oil. Now, that's really going to play into something we're going to talk about in a second. But only 1 million barrels of oil is coming out of Venezuela, and they need some. They need oil, but they need to sell oil to be able to make money for that country. And they definitely need money, which is one of the most important things for them right now. But they long term, and I think what Trump is doing here, and this is my total speculation, but it's my hypothesis, is Trump is looking at Venezuela as a long-term solution because in the United States, we have about 40 billion barrels of oil in reserves, and we're producing about 4 to 5 billion a year right now. Okay?
Yep.
So we have 40 billion. We're producing 5. That means in 8 years, we're out of oil. And now I'm not saying that 100%, but what I am saying is that's close to, you know, some numbers that we really don't want to get caught with our pants down because we have no more oil.
Okay? Well, now maybe take a moment here. We don't have as much in our reserve because Joe Biden stole it to put it on the market to say, look what I'm doing for you, America.
that's a different topic, Larry. We can go there if you want to, that's a whole different topic. But you're right.
Go ahead.
But Venezuela has 300 billion. They have 300 billion barrels of oil in reserves compared to the United States at 40 billion. We're producing 13 million a day. They're producing one.
We already have.
I know it's not necessarily in the Permian Basin.
Right.
It's further away, and it's a different type of oil, but it is a challenge because we don't have as much oil as we think we do in the United States, and if we run out pretty soon, it's not going to be good for the American people.
Now, the Venezuelan oil often is referred to as dirty oil compared to the clean oil that we have from West Texas Bent crude.
Right, exactly.
And what's that mean for refining? Yeah, what's that mean for refining and getting it to market?
Yeah, we've got to treat it. We have to treat it to be able to take it to a refinery in the United States. We have got to refine it. We need something in it. So it's not just a solution 100%. It's going to take something necessary that we're going to have to add to that crude oil. Somebody said the other day, I was listening to somebody said, "Hey, you know what, man? This is this crude is so thick that you could literally walk on it."
Yeah, I don't doubt it.
I've never heard that before, but it's a different kind.
I see the president of the trade group of the Permian Basin Petroleum Association says all of this right now, though, is casting a shadow over the Permian Basin. Because of the prices and the number of wells and drilling is down, and if more of it's going to come out of Venezuela, what's that going to do for the Permian Basin region?
Yeah, well, I think it's a good solution for the Permian Basin because we don't have the type of oil that we thought we had. And, rig count's down a lot in the Permian Basin. You know, I mean, last 5 years, I bet rig count's down 30-40% in the Permian Basin alone. It's down a lot because, I mean, the oil's not there in our tier one locations that produce a lot of oil and gas, but also too, you know, when the price goes down, if companies lose, it's like we produce about 2 million barrels of oil a year right now. That's King operating ourselves and 2 million barrels. And if the price goes down $20, that's a lot of money a year.
Yeah.
For a little small guy like me, I can't imagine if I'm producing 20 million 100 million barrels of oil a year, and I lose $20 a barrel? I mean, that's some serious revenue.
And the thing to keep in mind is
the prices go down, it hurts.
And the thing to keep in mind is the ripple effect. You got the pipe makers, you've got the trucking companies, everybody else is ancillary, and including the communities that are built around the oil companies.
Absolutely. I mean, all from the dry cleaners to the donuts shops to the everything. You're exactly right. And you being in Big Spring, and my matter of fact, my dad and grandfather really grew up in Cahoma.
I know that.
You know, it's just right there next to
yeah.
Yeah. But when the drilling rigs leave there, the town just literally shuts down and they call it ghost towns. It's not good.
And it wasn't that long ago. I can remember back, 40 years ago, where we basically were seeing rigs were shuttered. The tubing was piling up in the various stockyards. It wasn't being used or not being put into the ground. But some of that had to do with restrictions as well as cost at that point, correct?
Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right now is a great time to drill for oil and gas. It's a good time to call King Operating and see what we have available. But it's just a great time because rig count is down, and that's a good time to get a long-term contract. We want to sell assets, and that's our goal every year is to have a divestiture event for clients. And now's a great time to drill while prices are down. You know, when you go by that yard and there's three rigs in the yard, that's a good time to go, hey, how much do you want for those? But when you go by the yard and there's no rigs there, that's when you don't want to. You're not really negotiating. You're just taking whatever's available. So yeah, you can drill wells right now for 20-30% less than you can when prices are at $80 or $100 a barrel.
You're listening to Jay Young, founder and CEO of King Operating Corporation. Very quickly on your book, The Upside of Oil and Gas Investing. I like to believe there's always an upside, but it's not always true, is it?
That's exactly right. And that's the reason why I wrote the book, Larry. I didn't want people to think that, you know, okay, I want 100% write-off. I invested oil and gas. It's a one-size-fits-all. Everybody's the same. No, no, no. Not in this industry. There's so many promoters out there and people that you can listen to, and they sound good on the telephone, but they don't know what they're doing. They hope you make money, but that's all it is a hope. And we've designed a new program. I've got the second edition of my book coming out really soon to talk more about how you should invest in oil and gas. And I'm not saying invest with me. I'm not doing that. It doesn't matter to me. We've got a lot of investors, but if you're going to do it, you need to read my book just to learn more about what it is that you need to know before you go in and you write a check for 50, 100, 200,000 bucks. You need to know more about the oil and gas industry. And that's why I wrote the book. Forbes is the author. Matt, I've been on the Times Square, New York bestseller, blah, blah, blah. But I'd love for people to go to my website. Tell me you want the book. Tell me you want me to sign it. And I'll sign the next 5 or 10 books. I'd love to. And
what's that website?
Educated before you write.
Yeah, give me that.
Kingoperating.com. Yes, sir.
Kingoperating.com. And obviously, the cost of the book is going to be a lot less than $100,000, $200,000 into a well. So take advice.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, Jay, I want to thank you for your time. There are a lot more questions I want to get to, but we'll have to schedule another opportunity with you.
I'd love to. Let's do it every month. I'm ready. I love you and your audience, and you guys are doing great things. I appreciate it, and I'd love to get the word out there. So thank you very much,
and
have a great weekend.
And you too. God bless. Jay Young, founder and CEO of King Operating Corporation, the book, The Upside of Oil and Gas Investing. Now, let's talk about a downside from somebody you think would be smart, but he can't even put a sentence together. Soros is the last name. Is not George, it's his idiot son. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Great news from my sponsor, Tom Shaw Realtors, proving if you want to buy, sell homes, farms, acreage, you want Tom Shaw. In 2025, selling more than 100 properties, $52 million in sales. ShawRealtors.com. When I have business clients or guests from out of town, I often take them to Cafe Napoli. I know they're going to enjoy any of the Napoli locations. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, next to Napoli C, Napoli Kirkwood, or Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Excellent food and intellectual conversation, if they bring the intellectual conversation. NapoliSTL.com. NapoliSTL.com. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts? Windows icing up again? Utility costs surging? You're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing, you don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best. America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service. 2026, a great time to visit Lit Cigar Lounge. The Lit Cigar Facebook has numerous events from tastings to music. My main reason for going to Lit is always quality cigars, premium whiskeys. Odds are we'll see each other at Lit Cigar Lounge. A few doors down, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Get a pizza baked over coals. Excellent crust and flavor. Or choose one of the many great pasta dishes. You won't leave hungry. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta and Lit Cigar Lounge in the Chesterfield Valley.
This is News Talk STL.
1, 2, 3, they gonna run back to me. They always wanna come, but they never wanna leave.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I don't think that that's the, I don't think that that's the fundamental, I don't think the technology is the fundamental issue in democracy. Democracy is messy. I mean, you know, democracy is about contestation of ideas. It's about plurality. It's about people having different truths, actually. Now, fundamentally, how society lives together civically in those contestations is obviously quite tricky.
Oh my God. Did you understand anything the man said? I'll try to give you context. He was at the Davos Economic Summit. And of course, his daddy, George Soros, has a lot of money. And so they're going to invite somebody like him and his son, come speak to us. He's on this panel. And the question basically was, democracy. How do you see democracy? He can't really describe what he thinks is democracy because it's counterintuitive to everything he and daddy stand for. Now, if you ask him to describe socialism, Marxism, communism, well, I think he'd have maybe a clearer answer. Maybe not. I'm not so sure that he showed up, seriously, that he showed up with his lunch that day. He must have been deprived of something, because when you listen to this man, supposedly an elite, learned person, it's filled with sentences of, I know 7-year-olds who can do a better job of explaining something. But they were giving him this opportunity to try to explain what he thought of democracy. I challenge you. I tell you, I'm offering you a big challenge here. If you can tell me exactly what he is saying as he supposedly is dealing with the subject of democracy and what it is, I'm going to let you hear another part and see if you can understand this one better than what you heard a moment ago.
I think that if we play too much on this disinformation card, we're taking the responsibility away from ourselves to actually create a narrative that inspires people to vote and to believe, in democracy and democratic institutions. And on the institutional part, I think that we can talk about institutions as these abstract things, but institutions are also about people. Mm-hmm. And we just heard this point about untrustworthy people, and we talked about things in the United States like checks and balances, which aren't written anywhere but are customs. And one man, Donald Trump, literally came in and just took that all away.
Now, I know you caught the last part when he's talking about checks and balances, which are really just something in the ether. They don't really exist. I mean, when they did exist, you had Donald Trump come in and take them all away. What checks and balances has Trump taken away? Now, here's what also irritates me about this kind of elite forum. I don't know who the others were on the panel, but they're all sitting there absolutely enthralled, like, this is a sign from on high, and he speaks words of such great wisdom. Maybe that's it. Maybe he's speaking such words of great wisdom that I can understand them. Or then again, he's speaking pig Latin. Or then again, he's speaking nonsense, which... that one gets my vote immediately. He is speaking like somebody that's been overserved. That is Alex Soros, George Soros' son, who is going to continue to run the domain as daddy steps aside. Look, you can't pick your parents. We all know that. And in many ways, you can't really pick your children. But I would like to think that if I were of the import of George Soros, which thank God I'm not, because he's too far left for anyone to understand, that my son would be as equal to me and others. I've heard George Soros speak at different events, and he actually can make some very solid statements. And when he's not preaching communism, Marxism, he can make some sense. But his bumbling idiot of a son cannot put sentences together. The only thing he could make sure he got out that you heard, Donald Trump, because it's a chance to blast Donald Trump. All right, let's pick it up and try it again.
One man, Donald Trump, literally came in and just took that, you know, took that all away. But when I see this, you know, when I look at this, globally regarding democracy, I also say to myself, when was this great time that everybody got along so well and, you know, things were going so great? I mean, I think, you know, I think that we really have to be careful here in, you know, in this nostalgia for a time past, because a lot of the reactions we're seeing in society are actually reactions to positive things, like, you know, like equality for women, and greater diversity.
We all got along so well, such as equality for women, and yet he is among those that say a man can be a woman. And to take away the rights of women, there's your equity imbalance. These guys, they get all these special attention, and I gave him more time than I should have. I will admit that. But I found it fascinating that he could spend, let me see, the total length of the interview times we cut there. Let me look again at my cut sheet because I try to be accurate about this. Let me see. The first one was 38 seconds. The other one just a little over a minute or a little under. And the third one was 59 seconds. And there was not a single sentence that made sense. There was no cohesive thought whatsoever. And then he says, what happened to all the good times when everybody kind of got along? You know who he's talking about, everyone getting along, all the rich elite. He's not talking about you and your family. And I don't care if you're dyed-in-the-wool forever and ever Democrat and a Trump hater at the top of the list. He is not saying a damn thing of value to you and your family. And he never will. And now we got Mondani in New York City. And we got these blue mayors and governors across the nation. As you heard earlier from Gavin Newsom, so upset that all the leaders of the world came to the Davos summit to listen to Donald Trump. And Newsom said, I should have brought knee pads because they were all kneeling in front of him. And it was pathetic. Every time these folks open their mouth, they're mocking you. They're condemning you. They have no use for you except, can you bring me another drink? Do I believe that perhaps Alex Soros will become smarter with time? No, I don't. I don't. You can't buy some common sense. You have to live it. And that man has not lived one day as a commoner. Not one. Daddy made sure of that. Good for him. So we've had this special hearing on Capitol Hill today. Jack Smith, the special prosecutor, appearing in front of the Judiciary Committee. Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio opened up with the first remarks.
It was always about politics. And to get President Trump, they were willing to do just about anything. January 7th, 2023, Kevin McCarthy becomes Speaker of the House. 16 days later, Jack Smith issues a subpoena for his phone records. Phone records from 2 years prior for a two-month time frame, Election Day 2020 to January 7th, 2021. Jack Smith and the Biden Justice Department get the phone records of the top Republican in government, the guy second in line to the president. They know who he called, who called him, when the call took place, and how long it lasted. You can pattern an individual's life. They know who the speaker talked to before big votes, who he talked to after big votes, when he calls his colleagues, when he calls his family. And to add insult to injury, they go to the judge with a subpoena for a gag order on the carrier. AT&T, don't tell your customer, the Speaker of the House, that you just gave his phone calls to Jack Smith and Joe Biden.
Jack Smith again, the former special prosecutor who led two failed prosecutions against President Trump, testifying earlier today to the House Judiciary Committee about his actions. And he claimed, listen, my staff, we got vile death threats because we're trying to carry out justice. You were not carrying out justice. You were carrying out a witch hunt, and we all know it. And he defends his right to go and get these phone records of Kevin McCarthy or anyone else they wanted, saying we have the right to get them. In fact, he said it's common to pull such information when investigating a conspiracy case. Jack Smith said at one point, I was aware during the course of our investigation of targeting of witnesses during the course of the conspiracy itself. There were election workers who had their lives turned upside down and received vile death threats because they were targeted by Donald Trump and his co-conspirators. What was Jack Smith doing? Exactly what he was claiming Trump and others were doing. Once again, back to Congressman Jim Jordan.
They go to the judge with a subpoena for a gag order on the carrier. AT&T, don't tell your customer, the Speaker of the House, that you just gave his phone calls to Jack Smith and Joe Biden. And here's the kicker. They say to the court, we need this gag order because he's a flight risk. Someone might tamper with witnesses or with evidence. Are you kidding me? The Speaker of the House is going to run? They got my phone records for 2.5 years. Even the Democrats said this was wrong. But of course, we shouldn't be surprised. Democrats have been going after President Trump for 10 years, for a decade. And the country should never, ever forget what they did.
And in addition to today's appearance on Capitol Hill, Jack Smith had appeared for closed-door depositions previously. And Jordan pointed out, and then there was the raid on President Trump's home, you know, where they searched Barron's room and the First Lady's closet. In our deposition with the head of the FBI Washington field office, he told us none of the normal processes, none of the normal protocol was followed in that investigation. In fact, also they're talking about claim that he and others in the FBI Washington field office recommended you need to notify Trump before you carry out the search, or at least when they got there before they began, call the president's attorneys. They did none of that. But 3 days after Trump announced he's running for president, November 18, 2022, Attorney General Merrick Mealy-Mouth Garland named Jack Smith as special counsel. And then they carried out the raid on the Mar-a-Lago residence. Trump made a remark about that at a rally later. He said the Biden administration invaded the home of their chief political opponent, me, absolutely trying to destroy me and anyone else. He's hit on a phony pretext from a highly political magistrate that they handpicked in the evening, just days before the break-in. They also trampled on my civil rights and civil liberties. Then he told the crowd they also went through the former First Lady's closet drawers and even did a deep, ugly search of the room of my 16-year-old son. Is there anything in there that sounds that was worthwhile digging for a deposition or information of a conspiracy? You think the 16-year-old son of Donald Trump was involved in a conspiracy? We knew about the ransacking of the First Lady's boudoir and going through lingerie and everything else. What were they looking for? Souvenirs, maybe. But then to go into Barron's room and search it because Daddy probably hid something in there, you think? Does this sound so stupid, nonsensical? That's because it is. It is. All right, we've reached the end of another 2 hour, and I will tell you again, what did you learn? Or let me ask you, what did you learn you did not know when you began this hour or even joining us 2 hours ago? We will be back tomorrow from 6 to 8. And the story behind the story tomorrow, how the Army carried out tests involving unknowing St. Louisans. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.